If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and we will be there momentarily. And the last opportunity that we had to gather, we actually began our new study here in Sunday school on the thought of how to lead a person to Christ, how to take what we know about our faith and put that into words, and then take it and share it with somebody that does not yet know Jesus as their Savior. And just by way of a quick review, a couple weeks ago, we said the very first thing we have to do if we're going to share the gospel, if we're going to share Christ with somebody that is lost, is that we need to start with God's love. And we looked, of course, at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if we ever want to witness to somebody, we need to make sure that they know that wherever they are in life, whoever they are, that God loves them, and there's nothing they can do that can stop God from loving them. And so that's what we looked at first, and that brings us here now into our second lesson this morning, and that is just very simply this truth, that a soul winner must emphasize the fact that we are all sinners, and that there are no exceptions. And now there have been some who understand the quote-unquote love of God, and they feel that he would never send anybody to hell. You know, maybe you've ran into somebody and you've had a conversation where someone has thrown that in your face, and they say, well, if God is so loving, why would he send anybody to hell? And well, my answer to that always is that, well, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People send themselves to hell by rejecting the grace of God, by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And these sinners, they have to understand that the God of love, and he is a God of love, but he is also, first and foremost, a God of holiness. He is a holy God. And the Bible tells us that all men fall short of the standard that God has set. And as a result of this falling short, the Bible tells us that we are condemned to an eternity in hell should we die without Christ as our Savior. And so you're there, Romans chapter 3. And notice there, if you would, verse number 23. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23. Who'd like to read that? Miss Martha, go ahead.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
All right. Thank you there, Miss Martha. So we see that's a very simple verse, very straightforward verse, very to the point verse. And that is that this verse includes all men everywhere. Everybody has sinned. Every one of us here, we have sinned at some point in our life. And sometimes we still sin, even after salvation. Sometimes we still mess up. And that's what we have to drive home to those who are lost, that everybody has indeed sinned. So let me ask you a question at the start this morning. Have you ever been in a situation where someone needed help and, well, you were the one, you had the solution, and you knew how to help them, but you weren't necessarily sure how to share it with them? Right? I mean, there's been times where I've talked to people or someone has needed help, and I knew what they needed. I knew the solution, but I didn't necessarily know how to go about helping them. And I think we all run into situations like that where we run into people, we know that they need help, and we know what the help is that they need, but we don't necessarily know how to get them that help. And imagine that you're standing in front of somebody who's lost. You're standing in front of somebody that they don't know Jesus as their Savior. And you know exactly how to guide them to safety. You know that Jesus is the answer, right? We know that. But you don't know where to begin. Well, sharing the message of salvation is just like this. As Christians this morning, we have the greatest answer anyone could ever receive. Eternal life in Jesus Christ, their sins forgiven and taken to heaven someday when they die. But sometimes, and listen, we might have been in church all of our life and we might be able to recite the gospel backwards and forwards. And we might be able to, you know, at home, we look in the mirror and we practice and we're able to deliver it, no problems. But then just sometimes we're just unsure how to share it effectively. And I believe that that's not because we don't know the gospel. I believe that that's Satan trying to get into our minds and trying to trip us up, trying to confuse us, trying to get us not to share the gospel with those who need it. And so today, we're going to continue learning the crucial steps of leading somebody to Christ, beginning with the understanding that every soul needs a Savior. And so we're here in Romans chapter 3, and when we share the gospel, we must begin by establishing a fundamental truth. And that truth is that all men are sinners. And this includes everyone, regardless of their background, regardless of their nationality, regardless of their age. And so Romans chapter 3 here makes it clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so it's essential this morning that we understand this principle when we are going out and we're trying to lead somebody to Christ. We need to understand that we ourselves were sinners, and now we need to help them understand that they themselves are sinners. And the truth is this morning that if a person doesn't recognize their need for salvation, then they won't see the value of the Savior. It would be like if you were trapped in a fire. And you're in that fire and the firefighters come and they break down the door. They break through the window and they say, "Here, come with me. Here's the path to safety." You say, "Oh, no, it's too cold out there. I like being in here all nice and warm." Well, it's like, well, eventually you're going to die. And that's the same way with sharing Jesus. If they don't see their need for a Savior, then the question becomes, how can we effectively communicate this truth? And so there in your handout, there's several thoughts that I want to give us this morning. And the first one is this. We need to first emphasize the universal reality of sin. We need to emphasize the universal reality of sin. Again, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the very first step in leading somebody to Jesus is helping them understand that everybody has sinned. And listen, that puts all of us on a level playing field. That puts all of us on the same footing, so to speak. And, I'm quick to tell folks that, you know, just because I'm a pastor, I'm just as much a sinner as the people that I'm teaching, as the people that I'm preaching to. And I needed just as much of a Savior as the people I'm trying to reach and share Jesus with. And, there's no difference between me, no difference between you. We're all in that same boat. We're all on that same playing field. And so the first step in leading somebody to Jesus is helping them understand that everybody has sinned. And listen, sin this morning, it's not just about the big sins, right? It's not just about the obvious sins, but you know, about the sinful nature in every person. We all have a sinful nature. I'm talking about, you know, things this morning like lying and cheating and hatred and pride, you know, ignoring God's commands. I use the illustration, and it's humorous to a degree, but, you know, you ever go out to a bank or to a store or to a restaurant, and they bring the check and they have you sign. And Manny and I, we went out to Applebee's here this past week for dinner, and the waitress came, gave us our bill. I paid for it, and I had to sign, put the tip in, and, you know, give my signature and all that. And as I'm writing with that pen, I'm thinking, oh, this pen writes nice and smooth. Surely she won't miss that pen. Well, Mandy knew what I was thinking and said, don't you take her pen. And so I didn't take her pen. And but, you know, something as small as that, right? You know, that's not my pen. And so if I take that pen, what have I done? I've stolen. You say, but it's just a pen. They're not going to miss a pen. Well, it wasn't mine. And see, that's where Satan gets us. That's where Satan trips us up, by getting us to think, oh, you know what? That's just a small sin. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't, you know, hurt anybody. You know, all I did, it was a harmless little crime, right? Or a harmless little sin. Well, according to Scripture, there are no harmless sins. All sin is the same in the sight of God. I want you to imagine this morning that, you know, maybe you're standing on a tall building and you're looking down. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm afraid of heights. I don't care for heights. We went to, you know, baseball games and basketball games, and you know, you get up there and you know, those seats are the aisle that you walk to get to your seat. They're always so narrow. And, you know, we always wound up in the nosebleeds. And so, you know, you're there, you're trying to, you know, looking like you're walking a tightrope or something. And so, but I'm afraid of the heights. And I remember one day, there was a light bulb at our church in Philly that needed to be changed. And so I went, got the ladder. I was there by myself, at least I thought. And I got the ladder, put the ladder up, and I go up, and I'm changing the light bulb. And it was kind of in a hallway that there was the hallway, and then there was a staircase. And so if you fell off that ladder, you weren't just falling to the ground. You were falling, you know, down to the lower level of the church. And so I get up there. I've done that 1,000 times, change the light bulb, no big deal. And so I'm changing the light bulb, and then I'm not paying attention to anything around me, just to the light bulb. And all of a sudden, my pastor, he comes and he shakes the ladder. Yeah, he shakes the ladder. And you know, it was a joke. And well, in that moment in time, I didn't think of it as a joke. I was, you know, afraid for my life. And, but, you know, and so that's what I want you to picture. You're on this tall building. You're looking down. And the goal is for you to go ahead and jump to a ledge just a few feet away. So, for example, you go out here, you're standing on these steps. It would be like from jumping from these steps to the house, just a few feet away. Now, some people, they might jump further than others. But everyone who tries will still fall short because they don't have the power to make the jump. And this is how sin works. We all fall short of God's standard, no matter how hard we try. And so as a soul winner, somebody who's trying to share our faith, we must emphasize that sin is not just for bad people, but it's for everybody. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And if we don't recognize our sin, we won't see our need for salvation. And so we need to see that we're all sinners. But then number two, we need to help them understand the holiness of God. We need to help them understand the holiness of God. Turn over, if you would, look at Isaiah chapter 6. And we'll probably cover one more of the points and then reconvene in a couple of weeks and continue on with the rest of the thought. But Isaiah chapter 6, and who would like to read there verse number 3? Miss Martha, go ahead.
Isaiah 6:3. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
All right. Thank you, Miss Martha. And so we see here, and when we get into the New Testament, the Bible talks about be holy, for I am holy. And so as we're reading our Bible, we find out very quickly that God's love is the central theme in the Bible. But his holiness, the holiness of God, is also of just as much importance. And for us to truly understand our need for salvation, a person must know that God is holy and that God is just. So oftentimes we focus on, well, God is love. And yes, God is love, but he is also a holy God. He is also a just God. And God cannot allow sin into his presence. And his holiness requires justice. And sin must be paid for. And so you think this morning of a judge. If you've ever been to a courtroom, you stand before the judge. And if someone's broken the law, the judge's job is to declare justice. And no matter how good the person is, in that particular instance, they were guilty of a crime and had to be held accountable. In that same way, God's holiness means that he cannot ignore sin. And we are guilty and deserve punishment, but that is where God's love and God's grace come into play. I was watching a video the other day, and I loved what the preacher said. He said, grace will always outrun condemnation. Grace will always outrun condemnation. In other words, yes, we're condemned, but there's always the grace of God. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so when we're speaking to somebody, we need to help them understand that, yes, God is love, but God is also holy, and God is also just, and his justice must be satisfied, and we cannot save ourselves. And the final thought we're going to look at this morning, and we'll save the second half for a couple weeks from now, but the third thing we have to get them to understand is the consequence of sin. The consequence of sin, and that is eternal separation. Look, if you would, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and who'd like to read verse 23? Nikki, go ahead. Thank you there, sweetheart. And so here we see it. Because of our sin, we are now separated from God. And the natural consequence of our sin is eternal death. That's eternal separation from God in a very real place called hell. Now that's the bad news that we must understand before we can hear the good news. And so again, you picture, you're standing at the edge of a cliff. And there's that gap that no one can jump across. Well, that gap represents our separation from God because of sin. And the destination on the other side is eternal life. You know, we're standing back here and we can look and we can see it. but we can't reach it. At least not on our own. That is where Jesus comes in. That is where Jesus makes the difference. And as people who need Christ, they need to understand the severity of their sin. They need to understand the severity, the consequences of rejecting Christ. And without this understanding, they won't realize their need for a Savior. You know what? I think we have a little bit of time. We'll finish up these last two. Number four. So they realize everybody's a sinner. They realize that God's holy. They realize God's just. They realize that there needs to be a consequence for their sin. But then the fourth thing is they need to realize that there is a solution for their sin. And that solution is Jesus Christ. We looked at it a few weeks ago, but John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so here's the good news. The good news is this. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for your sins, to die for my sins. And Jesus is the only way that can bridge that gap between us and God. And he paid the penalty for our sin on the cross so we don't have to. Again, you imagine that you're drowning in a river. You know, you're struggling to stay afloat, and then someone on the shore, they take a rope and they throw you the rope and they pull you to safety. Well, you're thankful, you're grateful, but you realize very quickly that you couldn't save yourself, but somebody did. And that somebody for us is Jesus. Jesus is the rope, and he's the one who pulls us from the consequences of sin, and he pulls us over the gap, and he pulls us to eternal life. And so the person, you know, you're sharing your faith, you're sharing Jesus, you want your friend or your family member to get saved, and that person you're witnessing to, they must understand that Jesus is the solution. John 14:6, the Bible says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Talking about Jesus. They must believe in him. They must trust that he died and rose again for their sins. And then the fifth and final thing they must understand is the invitation. And that is an invitation to faith and repentance. Look, if you would, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Who'd like to read that? Justin, go ahead.
"If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved."
Absolutely. And so we see here that leading somebody to Jesus, it involves so much more than just understanding sin and the solution. Right? Because we can understand things. We can understand solutions. We can understand the problems. But it involves, they have to confess with their mouth. They have to believe in their heart. Listen, you have a friend or a family member this morning. You want them to get saved. You can't save them. And that's the hardest thing for us to accept sometimes. You know, we want to see them in heaven. But we can't make that decision for them. They have to make that decision. And repentance just simply means turning away from sin and turning toward God. We see our sin as God sees sin. And we say, we don't want that anymore. And we turn from that sin and we turn to God. Imagine this morning you're walking down a road in the wrong direction. And you think, man, I'm sure I'm going the right way, but really you're not. I remember when Manny and I, we first got married, and we're driving and we're going cross country, and she's like, yeah, let's take this shortcut. I went this way a million times. It took us an hour out of the way. And then another time I was talking with Barry the other day, and most of you know he's getting ready to move back to Mass, and we were talking about GPSs, and I said, yeah, GPSs are good, but just be careful. One time Manny and I, we were driving, we were relying on the GPS, and they were constructing a bridge next to a road, and well, it took us onto the bridge. Well, come to find out, the bridge wasn't yet complete. And so thankfully, you know, we figured that out before we got too far, and so we had to get back onto the right path. Repentance is like turning around and heading in the right direction, heading toward Jesus. And what we need to make sure of is that the person we're talking to Jesus about, that they understand that salvation is not just about believing, but confessing Jesus as Lord and making a commitment to follow Him. And so this morning, leading somebody to Christ, it's not a, you know, one size fits all situation. No, it's a step-by-step process. And we see there on your paper, you have some steps on leading somebody to Christ. If you want to know how to share Jesus, that's a good start. And so this week, here's the challenge for us. I challenge us each to commit to sharing the message of salvation with at least one person. Pray for that courage. You know, talk to somebody about Jesus. Ask God to prepare their heart to receive His Word. But that's the second step in sharing Jesus. They must know. Yes, God loves them, but they must know that they're sinners. But they must know that Jesus can save them from that sin as well. Brother Kenny, could you close us in prayer this morning?